When I called Carrie to ask permission to use her story in this book, she told me she had gone to a psychologist about 5 years ago for an unrelated personal problem. During their sessions, she told about the strange dream. The psychologist's explanation was that Carrie must have been sexually abused as a child. It didn't matter that Carrie had no memory of any abuse, that had to be the answer. Carrie didn't see the connection and neither did I, since there was no sexual connotations in the dream or the visions. Some psychologists and psychiatrists, when confronted by something unusual, instead of exploring a different explanation, will not deviate from the book. In their training there can be no other explanation. The Custodians, Il. C. Ri 0, ILW, WW, U.0 I, 112, Hidden Information in Dreams, dot, question mark I 2 tilde, slash, I middle dot, W. Dot T. Middle dot J comma, dot, 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 chfi, backslash, dot, apostrophe, dot, dot, I, dot, slash, slash, I, backslash, Carrie's drawing of the silhouette of the alien. The Custodians, 113, I, dot phi, I exclamation mark backslash, comma E, F, I, dot ik I to J, I and he's. A tilde CA 7 tilde I, T, slash, I tilde, 114, hidden information in dreams, dot, 4, dash, 1, dot, slash slash I V colon I, semicolon I, V R middle dot, Li comma middle dot middle dot, middle dot underscore R middle dot R2 middle dot middle dot middle dot, C, apostrophe, I middle dot T, L, apostrophe apostrophe, I dot 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 slash, A, degrees, J, middle dot D, apostrophe, dot I, L, A, dot comma semicolon n sense r t s, Carrie's drawing of one of the aliens. The Custodians, 115, tilde, lu tilde, z z, c dot dot underscore r middle dot dot, apostrophe, comma, middle dot, equals, s, apostrophe, dot v, colon 7, dot caret, h, dot, exclamation mark, z, e c, dot underscore, dot, car, WTA underscore F, N, Y, Carrie's drawing of the alien baby. 116, hidden information in dreams, Y friend, Leanne, was another case of information being hidden in a dreamlike state. She was a woman in her early 40s, who taught learning disabled children in Florida. Her mother and father were old friends of mine, and she came to Arkansas every year to visit them. She had been interested in psychic phenomenon, and more recently in metaphysics. Her parents did not understand any of this, so when she came for a visit we spent much time together discussing these things. At this time in the summer of 1988 we followed our normal routine. We would go to the local restaurant, find a table in a corner, and talk for several hours, often until they closed. Her parents could never understand what we could find to talk about for so long. During the discussion she described some strange experiences that had occurred about 6 months before. She thought they might be out-of-the-body experiences, but the more she talked I recognized symptoms of a classical UFO abduction. She had not read any UFO books before the incident. Afterwards she read an Ashtar Command book, and thought if her experiences had something to do with space people, this was surely the type it had to be, the beautiful blonde, blue-eyed benevolent beings. I wanted to be sure she really wanted to explore it, because I had the feeling if it really was the classic type case she might discover something that would disillusion her. She was excited about trying it, apparently convinced it would be a wonderful experience. So we scheduled the time for the session, allowing for the whole afternoon. Leanne's aunt and uncle were also friends of mine, who definitely would not understand any of these weird things their niece was interested in. Since they were out of town we knew we could have their house to ourselves with no interruptions. We settled down into chairs in the living room, and I had her tell me her memories of the experience for the benefit of the tape recorder. I always like to record the interview first so we can know the conscious memories. Otherwise, The subject might say later that nothing new was revealed, that they remembered everything. Hypnosis always adds details that are not known at M. The Custodians, 117. The time of the experience. She called it a dream, because she didn't know what else to call it, but it had qualities that did not suggest a dream. She remembered the exact night, and the circumstances leading up to the occurrence. Leanne, her husband Mike, and their son, Adam, were planning to visit their in-laws, so she was doing the laundry late at night. Mike and Adam were asleep, and she was folding the clothes in the guest room. The first thing she noticed was little shadows out of the corner of her eye. She had seen these on several occasions, and they never seemed to be associated with normal things in the room that would cast shadows. They would be on the floor or along the wall, always at a low level. When she tried to fixate on them, they wouldn't be there. They were only visible out of the side of her eye. These shadows have been reported by other people, usually at the beginning of an alien encounter. Of course, they could be associated with ghosts or spirits, but they seem to have an increasing association with aliens. I have a theory about this, but it cannot be proven at the present time. There is increasingly more speculation that aliens and their craft are coming from another dimension. If this is true, maybe the shadows are the beginning stage when they are just starting to enter our dimension, and have not quite materialized yet. My assumption was backed up by her remark, "I was seeing these little shadows again, and I thought, just leave me alone tonight. I don't want to be bothered." That seemed an unusual thing to say without thinking, unless her mind associated the shadows with some type of entities. After folding the clothes, she took a shower and decided to read for a while. It was around 1 o'clock in the morning when she laid down to read, but instead fell immediately asleep. She thought she was dreaming, but it seemed to be a nebby, because she was suddenly above her body looking down on it. The most fascinating and most exciting thing was that as I looked at my body, I was viewing it as an empty shell, and actually knowing what it felt like to have a body without a soul. To see a total nothingness, a total void, an emptiness, and 118, hidden information in dreams, knowing exactly what that felt like, for the first time. I was really excited about that. I was not in two places at once. I could see my body on the bed, but I'm sure I wasn't in it. Then the situation changed. She felt a sense of urgency, and had to return to her body because she felt she had to get up and go to the bathroom. She was back in her body, but before she could get up she heard a loud, high-pitched sound directly in her ears. She described it as the sound a skill saw would make, high-pitched and shrill. The part of her mind that was still semi-conscious was trying to reason, "It's night time. What goofy neighbor is running a skill saw at this time of night?" She said, "You have to define things in terms that you know." Yet she knew it was not the first time she had heard the sound. There was the feeling of familiarity, as though this had happened before. During the following years I was to discover other cases where the person heard a motor sound, often high-pitched, at the beginning of an experience. This is another aspect that was to fall within the predictable pattern. But her next remarks were unusual and unpleasant for her to remember. She had the sensation that she was no longer lying in her bed, but was hanging upside down by her feet. Then she had the feeling of her private parts being poked and prodded. It didn't seem to be a sexual feeling, more like it was being done by some sort of instrument. Then the urge to urinate again. Another part of her mind was saying, "I'm going to wet this bed." I felt like I was hanging upside down, but relating it to sleeping and being in bed. I thought, "This is weird." I wanted to get back, because I knew if I didn't I was going to wet the bed, and the bed would be a mess. Then she had the feeling of something, an instrument, being put down her throat, and she started gagging. And she thought, "They're going to kill me. I'm going to gag to death." Next, the awful feeling of her dinner coming up in one round blob. She could actually smell the sickening odor of bile. Then the thought, "Now I know the bed is going to be a mess. Not only am I going to wet the bed, but now I'm throwing up. This can't be a dream. It's too real." Her sense of smell was so acute that it had the Custodians, 119, to be actually occurring. Yet the sensation passed as soon as it began, and she found herself lying down again. She wanted to wake up, and she looked to where the sliding glass doors would have been in her bedroom. The room was bright, and my conscious mind thought, gee, why is the room so light, when I know it's dark out? Why is that light coming in through the sliding door when I know I didn't leave that door open? So I looked outside, or I went outside. I don't remember. There should have been a patio and a screened-in pool out there, but there wasn't. Where my swimming pool should have been, there was a table. And it was a white, very bright light. This was surprising, because I really thought I was in bed in my room. Instead of a patio and swimming pool, there was this bright room. And I remember seeing people. They were brown-skinned and not wearing any shirts. And I thought, what happened to my patio? And if that's my patio, why are these people around that table without shirts on? It was as if I was observing things from two parts of my mind, and none of it made any sense. Those were the last things she remembered. I felt calmer. I felt back together again. I knew I was awake, but I didn't open my eyes right away, because I didn't want to see anything. I don't know how long I laid there, but when I opened my eyes I saw the room was dark like it should have been at night time. And I thought, God, I'm back in my room. And I was lying on my stomach, and I never sleep in that position. But my body was so relaxed. I can't recall ever waking up in such a relaxed position. And the bed was not a mess. There was no throw up, no urine, the covers were neat as though I had hardly moved. And the clock read 3 o'clock, so 2 hours had passed. I did not feel the urge to go to the bathroom. The first thing I did was check the sliding door, and it was just as I had left it. I checked on my son, and my husband, who was snoring away on the couch. Everything was as it should be. I then turned on all the lights, and went into the kitchen and had a cigarette. As I sat there in my kitchen smoking, I looked at the ceiling, and thought, doesn't that look nice? That physical reality. And I felt the table, oh, doesn't this feel nice? 120, hidden information in dreams, it's physical and solid. Isn't it good to be here? I guess I thought it was a strange out-of-the-body experience. I had learned that it's nice to get back in, and it's nice to be part of this world. And it's nice having a physical body, and to appreciate the physical body I have now. That was what I was feeling when Mike got up, and wanted to know what I was doing awake. And I said, oh, honey, I just had a weird dream. If this had been a nightmare induced by digestive or gastric distress, why did she feel normal upon awakening? There was no sickness or vomiting. To add to the confusion of the strange night, if she had really been physically poked and prodded, she should have felt some irritation in those parts of her body the next day. Instead, she felt fine, although confused. So she concluded it had to have been a dream. After the discussion, we went into her aunt's bedroom to have the session. When she had entered a good state of trance, I instructed her to go to her home on the night of the event in January 1988. She was reliving folding the clothes. She thought it was interesting that she was actually seeing the scene. L, I can see the bedroom. I can see what I have on. I can really even see the pictures on the wall, rather than remember them. This is like a remembrance, but can you visualize the remembrance? Is that how it's supposed to be? There's a difference between seeing and remembering. I had to get her mind away from trying to analyze the situation, and back on just reporting what she was seeing. If the subject continues to analyze, they can switch into the judgmental side of their brain, and alter the hypnosis process. I explained that it was easier to remember this way. L, but there's no involvement. D, if you don't want to be involved, you don't have to be. You have that choice. You can watch as an observer if you wish. It's all up to you. You're in control. The custodians, 121, she returned to describing the room. And then noticed the shadows. L, they always are just low to the ground. I can never really tune in on them. They are not like shadows on the wall. Those are fixated from objects. These just seem to be there, and then they fade away quickly. After she finished folding the clothes, she wanted to go to bed because she was tired. She went to sleep immediately, and when I asked if she slept all night long, she whispered, no. But instead of telling me why, She began to display distress. Her facial and body movements indicated something was going on. But she wouldn't speak. Finally, she sighed deeply and said, "I don't want to recall it." I gave comforting suggestions and insisted that she was perfectly safe, and it would be all right to look at it as an objective reporter. This took several minutes of talking in order to gain her confidence. Her breathing was deep and irregular, and I knew something was occurring. All during this time when she wouldn't talk, she kept reaching out with her hand and touching my arm gently. It was as though she wanted to make sure I was there, and she was not alone. She continued to do this at regular intervals. It seemed to help for her to know that I really was there and had not left her. She seemed to be so caught up in what was happening it was distracting for me to ask questions. That seemed to bring her focus back to me though. She was definitely watching and experiencing something, and didn't have the impulse to talk. Finally she burst out, "This is nuts." I assured her that I had heard many strange things, and anything she said would not surprise me. I tried to convince her that if she would begin tell NG me about it, it would become easier. L, you're there? Okay. D, I'm right here. And I'll be with you through the whole thing. You won't be alone. It doesn't matter how strange it sounds. What are you seeing? 122, hidden information in dreams. L, she finally began to report, I'm inside. I'm not at home. And they're talking, but I don't know what they're saying now. I don't like it there. D, what does it look like? L, we're enclosed. It's a room. I don't like how it smells either. She was making definite facial expressions as though she was smelling something unpleasant and offensive. A wrinkling of her nose, etc. When I asked her to describe the smell, she had great difficulty, but was also determined to get it correct. This was made more difficult because she could not accurately associate the odor with anything familiar. Not clean. Rotten. Not like dirt stuff. It doesn't smell like compost. Not like fish rotten. It's just pungent, if that's the word. A higher frequency of rot, although that makes no sense. Like slimy rotten. It's not like anything I have ever smelled before. Not like bile either. Worse than bile. She made a disgusted face, and seemed uncomfortable with it. So I gave suggestions that she would not be disturbed by the odor as she described the events. In this way we could block it out so it wouldn't physically bother her. L, it's a room, but it's not like I thought it would be. There are people here. Smiling, it's not Ashtar. I wanted her to describe what she was seeing, but she fell silent and became an observer. She was in obvious distress from something she was witnessing. I could discern this more from her facial and eye movements than her body movements. Her breathing was loud and uncomfortable. The main body movement was when she reached out to touch my arm, to be sure I was still there. She was absorbed in experiencing whatever was going on. Suddenly she blurted out, "Why don't they stop it? They're poking. It's like I feel it more than I see it." I patiently tried to persuade her to tell me what was happening, and it was as if my questioning pulled her attention back to me. "Their eyes are very, the custodians, 123, big," she said with a deep sigh. "It's not like I hoped it would be. I hoped it would be a much more spiritual encounter. An intellectual encounter." After a pause she continued, "It's not happening anymore. I think I'm on a table now." She then began to describe the occupants of the room. "Their heads are a light brown, but not beige. Tan is a good color. I guess they have on suits, but their head is always uncovered. Their arms are longer than ours. They're not tall. They're not hairy. They look similar to the communion kind of people, except they are more wrinkled. Their eyes are almond-shaped, and in proportion to the rest of their face, their eyes are big. Larger than our eyes, and there is no white. Their pupil is very large, and the iris is real dark, almost blacky brown. They really don't have a nose, just holes, with no extension or whatever it would be called. They also don't have ears, just holes. Their mouths are not like ours, no lips or teeth. D, where are they more wrinkled? L, their arms are more wrinkled. And their necks are wrinkled, like leather. You know, like those dogs that have the wrinkles? D, rolls? L, Rolls is a good word. There aren't any in the shoulder area, but wherever there is a joint for movement there are wrinkles. By the elbow, and on the inside of the forearms. D. Are their faces wrinkled? L. No, their face is smoother and tight, like a nice leather handbag kind of smooth. Not soft like skin is soft, more of a leathery appearance, but their neck is more wrinkled and skinny. She described their hands as having three fingers, an opposing thumb and two fingers. She tried to see their feet. They have joints like we have joints. They have shoulders, elbows and knees, but their feet are not like our feet. They're flatter. They're not as high as our foot would be, and the heel is 124, hidden information in dreams, wider. And I don't see toes. There have been similar descriptions of the aliens' feet, most notable the one in Legacy from the Stars. In that book the description was of something like duck feet or mittens, a flat structure, but without webbing. D. Did they have any nails on their fingers? L. I don't remember. But if I had to guess, I would say no. This goes along with all reports. The being usually has no hair, so it would also have no nails. Nails are composed of the same cellular structure as hair, so it appears that this type of being does not have the gene to produce hair. L. They were poking. I didn't like that at all. Not at all. Now it's okay. It was disgusting in terms of just being prodded at and poked, and being stuck with. It's worse than when you're having a child and they're poking and prodding. I tried to get her to tell me where they were poking and prodding, but she was uncomfortable discussing it. So I asked if they had used anything, and she tried to describe instruments she had seen. They're cold, and smooth. I guess metal-like. Not stainless steel. You know how when you go to the gynecologist, sometimes the instruments are cold? But it wasn't gynecologist's instruments. One was long like a straw tube, with some kind of structure on the end, like for scraping or something. That was for their examination in the lower part. Leanne then described where the instruments were kept. There's a counter area that's made out of some white material. Everything in the room is very built in. The counterpart, the drawers, everything, slide in and out of this wall surface. If you needed to place something upon something, you would pull it out from the wall. I guess they have it that way so whenever they're traveling or whatever, they don't have objects within the room, necessarily. Everything is pushed in. The custodians, 125, I asked for description of other instruments, but she switched her focus to the surroundings. I don't like it here. The room is round. It's light in the room. Did I say that? I'm not lying down anymore, but when you're on the table there's a light above. But then they hang you upside down. This was apparently the part that disturbed her, and she couldn't describe it while it was occurring. Now she was able to tell me about it because that part was over. You feel like you're in stirrups. And you feel like you're a hunk of cattle there, hanging from your feet, and your head is down. D. Not a very comfortable position. L. No. Pause. I don't have any clothes on right now. I didn't have any on when they were doing that. But it's okay now. That smell's gone too. That was bad, that was different. That was somewhere else, a different room. This room is clean. D. The smell came from somewhere else? L. That room wasn't clean, wherever that was. This room is clean clean. It doesn't smell anymore. Except, you shouldn't do that to people. You shouldn't probe. I mean, it's like there is no respect for your body. Huh. What a big shock, Leanne. This isn't how it was supposed to be. D. How many people are in there? L. There's one person that did the probing. And then there are two other people, Ha, just standing and watching and talking. But I don't know what they're saying. D. Are they making sounds? L. Yeah, they're making sounds. But I can't even describe the sound. There is a tonal structure to their language, versus words. Similar to musical tones, but their speech patterns more hollow sounding. Like if you were talking through, had difficulty describing, a machine that would replace your vocal cords. But it's a hollow sound. Like you were piping your voice through an organ, but not an organ. an empty kind of sounding, not a computer, kind of a. 126, hidden information in dreams, mechanical sound, hollow. I could understand this definition, because I knew a man that used a machine to replace his vocal cords that had been removed because of cancer. His words could be understood once I became familiar with the sound. But it had a monotone, vibrating effect. This description was similar to Penny's in Legacy from the Stars. She also said she heard the beings making strange musical tones instead of words. D. Do all these people look alike? L. They look basically the same, but their eyes are different. D. In what way? L. Their eyes are different or their face is different, in terms of the sensitivity. Like all Caucasians look the same, they're Caucasians. All blacks look black. There are similarities, right? But you tell people by their eyes or whatever. And there are very soft eyes right now. You see, now I feel okay. I'm not up there anymore. And the one I'm looking at now has very soft eyes. The same shape, but they're more caring. He was there before, but watching. He wasn't the one doing the probing. D. Could you see anything else that they did? L. Yeah, I guess I did. I don't like talking about it. D. All right. It just wanted to get all of it out now, and then you wouldn't have to do it again. L. We won't do it again, okay? D. That's true. L. No, we won't do it. I'll talk about it instead of doing it again. Okay? D. You can do that. Just talk about what happened, L. Okay, I get the feeling. No, I don't get the feeling. I see. They took fecal material. And it looks like they're shooting some kind of laser beam or something into it. They're over there in the corner. It's not really a corner, because the room is round. There's a sound coming from the machine. The custodians, 127, it's kind of like that sound I heard, but not quite like I remember. It's a high frequency that I guess you would get from a light beam. This may have been the Skillsaw noise she heard when she thought she was in her bed. They took samples of waste material. I can't see what they are doing with it. I don't choose to see. But I think, something thinks, why even bother with what they're doing? What's the purpose of it? The one was nice, the man. The being with the nice sensitive eyes. At least they have that much respect. After I was down from hanging like that. Hanging, I didn't like that. He was there to at least calm me down, not that I felt anxious. I just felt like, why are they doing this sick stuff? And it wasn't like perverted sick. It was like investigating, I guess, in terms of science, versus being. She had difficulty explaining, violated. But at least it's good they have the sensitivity to calm you down after the examination. A similar caring individual has been seen by other subjects and is reported in my other books. They often describe it as a nurse type that calms them down. Sometimes just with the expression in its eyes. Some say that, even though they could not distinguish a sex, the being had a feminine feel to it. D. You said they had suits on? L. Yeah, the ones that stunk did. They had the blue suits on. These other people in the experimental room had on the same type of white jumpsuits. It's a more sterile environment. They had a high neck on the suit too, because they had long necks. Part of the neck was covered. The rolls were above the neck of the suit. I was picturing a Mandarin-type collar. D. Did you see any type of insignia or anything like that on their suits? L. Let me see. Pause. Take this with a grain of salt. This is what popped in, okay? It's a circle. And above the center point are three wavy lines. It's a calming symbol, I guess. 128. Hidden information in dreams. D. Where was this symbol? L. Oh, you'd wear it on your chest. Her hand motions indicated it was on the left shoulder. I think it was on the white uniforms. I gave her instructions that she would remember the symbol and be able to draw it for me upon awakening. I then wanted to know if there was anything else in the room that she remembered. L. The lights in there. I don't know where the light was coming from. Except for that main light over the table. It was big and round, but it wasn't a fluorescent light. It didn't have the heat of a light like when you are at the dentist. You know how that light gets hot? It didn't have that kind of heat, or like I would imagine a light in a doctor's operating room has heat coming off it. This light was bright like that, but you couldn't feel any heat being given off.